how would you characterize the ability to obtain capital for the entrepreneur, for the startup?
I think the capital's there, I quite frankly. You know, it's never easy, certainly, but, you know, Lexington is really well positioned, I think, in terms of capital. Now, I think some of that capital does not often find its way to entrepreneurial companies because we also live in a city, in a region of the country that has, by and large, its economy has been based on pretty traditional industries, you know, real estate, banking, finance, et cetera. And in many of those cases, people who have been successful are not that familiar with or comfortable with the notion of investing in riskier innovation-driven companies, or in some cases, actually putting their money into a venture fund, which is in a sense a blind pool. Unlike making an investment yourself, venture funds and risk capital funds, basically people make investments and allow the managers of those funds to make the decisions on what kind of companies that they would be putting their money into. And I think there's a lot of people in Kentucky and in Lexington that aren't that comfortable with that, either now or historically.
Here in Kentucky, we were burdened for many generations by a certain amount of anti-intellectualism. Do you feel that we have begun or have significantly emerged from that?
I think it's a lot better now in Kentucky and across Kentucky. If anything, I see more of a problem with us being just a little bit too comfortable, particularly in Lexington. Lexington is indeed a nice place to live, and there are a lot of good things happening here, and that leads to a certain kind of comfort that is good in many ways, but also dangerous. You never want to become complacent in today's world. And I think we've done a much better job of embracing, if you want to call it, the idea of intellectual pursuits and creative pursuits and innovative pursuits, but not nearly to the extent that we need to. And I think that's something that we really need to work on.
Why does innovation matter?
Hardly a day goes by that you don't pick up the newspaper and see some sort of new development or new invention of some sort that's out there. And in that kind of world, you have to be on your toes. You cannot rely on what you did yesterday. You really have to rely on what's going to happen, tomorrow. And this innovation, because it's happening so quickly, is rapidly, rapidly transforming all sorts of industries. For example, there was a recent article in The Atlantic magazine that indicated in the decade that ended the 10 years preceding, I think, 2009, the manufacturing sector displaced or discarded 70 years of previous gains in jobs. A lot of that was certainly, some of it was due to the economy and the shifting of the economy, but a lot of it's being done, as a result of technology and innovation in manufacturing and the fact that more and more manufacturing jobs are being done by robots and other types of automated systems. So when you realize that, and you see what kind of that a lot of this is being driven by innovation, it's absolutely critical that we have that understanding in our culture, in our economic system, and we promote those kinds of companies.
This innovative or technological turnover that we're experiencing now is happening at almost blinding speed. And when you think about it, the smart device was not a part of our life in such a pervasive way 5 years ago,
right?
3 years ago, maybe. Asking you to be a bit of a futurist, looking down the road 3 to 5 years, do you see an equally significant turnover in technologies that will change life in ways that the mobile device has already?
I think anyone who tells you where we're going to be in 3 to 4 to 5 years or thinks they can tell you that is mistaken. I don't think we really, really know.